some form resembling his own, resembling Krishna's own form, like a Vishnu type form, and said, you can keep this form eternally, you'll never die, and you can become an eternal associate of Lord Shiva. So such mercy Banasura got just on the spot, and only because Lord Shiva had intervened. Otherwise Krishna was going to kill him. So Narada Muni said that this proves that you're very dear to the Lord and that he's extremely kindly disposed to you. He doesn't take you as an offender. Then Narada Muni gave another example. Actually, Narada Muni said that sometimes you give boons to demons who either want to attack the Lord based on the boon or harass the Lord's devotees based on the boon. But you are so clever that you give these boons in such a way that the demons think they just got a very nice boon, and now they can kill the Lord or kill his devotees. But actually there are loopholes in the boons, so they don't work. So he gives the example of Kalayavana. You probably heard of Kalayavana. He attacked Mathura. And isn't it? No. That was Krishna as the Ranchor, right? With Kalayavana? Yeah. Kalayavana, it seemed like he was defeating Krishna. Krishna ran away, took him into the cave of Muchakunda, and Muchakunda incinerated him, right? That was Kalayavana. Now this Kalayavana, his background is that there is one sage named Garga Muni. Now he's actually a very famous Brahmin, but he had a son named Gargya, who was a bit of a demon. Yeah. So this Gargya, he wanted a son who could kill the Yadavas. So he prayed to Lord Shiva for that. And Lord Shiva seemed to give him that benediction, that he could have a son who was Kalayavana, who could kill the Yadavas. But he wasn't able to kill them. He was only able to frighten them and frustrate them a bit. And in the end, he was killed. So there was like a type of loophole in that benediction. It wasn't as complete as it seemed to be. Then Jayadratha, he was also a worshipper of Shiva. He prayed to Lord Shiva, please empower me to kill the Pandavas. So Lord Shiva, he said, he gave some benediction like that. He said, you can be considered to have more mercy because they see the Lord, whereas in the material world, the pure devotees do not always see the Lord. So therefore, even though they're equal, but still the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they do have a special position even compared to the pure devotees in the material world. Just on that one ground that they're able to see the Lord. When it comes to someone like Prabhupada, they would come to get his association. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Prabhupada, yeah, they would come to get his association and to help. Yeah, it's not that there would be anything wrong with them thinking that they could help Prabhupada.
because devotees want to serve other devotees, so they would come to help Prabhupada in the mood of being his servants like that. That's their mood. They just see themselves as servants of the servants. So it's nice.
And they'll also maybe come and help other devotees who really need help.
You know, Prabhupada, he didn't really need help in a sense.
But, you know, the ordinary devotees or aspiring devotees,
the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, according to Lord Shiva, they sometimes come and they intervene and they help
as they're trying to preach and spread Krishna consciousness. They do things like that. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes, please.
That Lord Shiva is the head of the Rudra Sampradaya, plus the head of the Mayavad Sampradaya. Is that hard for the members of the Rudra Sampradaya to digest? That's the question. You know, this fact that Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya, is Lord Shiva, to my knowledge, it may not be so well known or so much accepted. We accept it, but, you know, where it says that in, where Lord Shiva says that, or, you know, where that whole pastime takes place, where the Lord asks him to do that, he doesn't give his name. You know, it's not like totally clear that he's going to become Shankaracharya as such. But to my understanding, I don't know so much about the other sampradayas in detail, but to my understanding, it is mainly more our sampradaya who accept Shankaracharya as that incarnation of Lord Shiva. And frankly, I don't even know what the Rudra Sampradaya people think. In fact, you know, who's the Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya? Is that Vishnu Swami? Vishnu Swami, because that sampradaya is more or less defunct, really. Yeah, it's hardly existing now. You know, really, the only way it's existing is the followers of Vallabhacharya in Gujarat, but they don't really recognize Vishnu Swami. They don't really recognize themselves so much as being members of that sampradaya. So anyway, I'm not really aware how they would think about that point. Sorry. And Mother Vishak.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So, yesterday, Lord Shiva explained how the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are the greatest recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And in the meantime, just an interesting little reflection arose. The different reasons that Lord Shiva was giving were all about how the inhabitants of Vaikuntha engaged in pure devotional service in different ways. And it included that they sometimes take birth in devotee families. They sometimes make different arrangements to help the devotees. And they sometimes help the devotees to preach. And we gave the example of them coming, of Narada Muni himself coming and appearing to Srila Prabhupada at least twice in preaching programs. But also we know that Narada Muni has come as a preacher. He himself is an inhabitant of Vaikuntha. He is one of these specific people, resident of Vaikuntha. And he is famous as one of the greatest preachers. And he has descended. He has preached to Prahlad Maharaj, who he's just about to visit. In fact, he is the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. He preached to Dhruva Maharaj. And of course, it's an allegorical story, but, well, no, he preached to Prachinabarhi, isn't it? Not to Paranja. He preached to Prachinabarhi. Yeah. And many others. So, he has descended to preach. That's an interesting point, just a reflection on how the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they do intervene, they involve themselves in with the devotees in this world and in different ways. And even they actually come and preach themselves. And when they do, like Narada Muni, his preaching has a very amazing impact because he's a very amazing devotee. So here we are now. Narada Muni has gone to Sutala Loka. Now, Sutala Loka, that is within this material world. Oh, yeah. That is within this material world. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he's famous, he's been referred to here as like the ideal Vaikuntha Vasi, but he himself is living within the material world, in a sense. He's living there in Sutala. So Narada Muni goes then from Shivaloka, which is beyond the material world, he goes back into the material world, to Sutala. But, of course, we understand very clearly that he is going higher, really, in terms, in spiritual terms. He's definitely going higher. So he was so inspired that, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita says, he went, he traveled by the path of the heart. And the purport explains, this means by the speed of the mind, at least, or even faster, to Sutala Loka. And there he saw Prahlad Maharaj meditating. Prahlad Maharaj, he remembers the Lord. This is his particular activity. His specialty is remembering the Lord, meditating on the Lord. So Prahlad, in our study guide on page 8 there, it says that in his mind's eyes he saw Narada Muni coming. Yes. So while he was deep in trance and not externally conscious, completely, his consciousness was absorbed within, but he became aware that Narada Muni was coming. However, Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains that even though he was aware that Narada Muni was coming, and Narada Muni is his spiritual master, and he is an immensely respectful disciple, but still, because he was so deeply absorbed in meditation, it took him some time to come back to the point where he could actually greet Narada. And by that time, Narada had landed, and Narada was already dancing very ecstatically and glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad arrived, Narada arrived, Prahlad offered his prostrated dandavats, and then took Prahlad, forced him to accept a seat, and then got together the paraphernalia for worshipping him, washing his feet, and all the formal requirements for worshipping a very honorable guest. But Narada refused, and he just grabbed hold of Prahlad and embraced him. So then Narada glorified Prahlad, that you are certainly
the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and gave some very interesting reasons. Some of them are quite extraordinary. Some of them we might expect. Some of them are quite extraordinary. First of all, he says that from childhood you have exhibited love for the Lord such as has never been seen before. Yeah, very extraordinary. Even as a little child, preschool child. For example, in the fourth chapter of the seventh canto, it describes how Prahlad was totally uninterested in childhood playthings and play friends and toys and all that sort of thing. Totally uninterested. And in fact, it's described that if somehow his friends would come and try and invite him to play, he would be turned off so much, he would become silent and dull like a stone and just sort of switch off altogether. It's described there in the fourth chapter of the seventh canto that he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he didn't know how the world was going on around him. He didn't know how his body was going on, sleeping, eating, walking, lying down, talking. He was not conscious of these functions. They were more or less happening automatically, but he was so deeply absorbed internally in remembering the Lord. As we said, remembering is his particular activity. So he was so absorbed like that he was actually existing on that internal, eternal, transcendental platform. And sometimes, for no apparent reason, he would just start crying, or just start laughing. And sometimes he would just start singing, and no one could understand what has happened to this boy. And sometimes he would see the Lord, and he would just cry out, call out, the Bhagavatam verse says, in full anxiety, he would just call out. Sometimes he would dance. Sometimes he would feel oneness and imitate the pastimes of the Lord. Yes. And sometimes he would feel the touch of the Lord's hand and he would become silent with his ears standing on end and tears gliding down from his eyes. So Narada says that these symptoms of love of God, they had never really been seen before. This was very extraordinary display of very elevated consciousness. So that was one thing. That was the first thing. And that was from his very early childhood. So, because he was so absorbed on that devotional platform, he was able to overcome the most impossible obstacles. Specifically, the harassment of his father, which lesser devotees would not have been able to deal with at all. They would have become bewildered at least at some point. But he remained throughout totally unaffected, as if those things were not happening. Or if they were happening and he was aware of them, then his consciousness of them was totally different from the reality. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, in a lecture, says about Prahlad that sometime one person approached Prahlad and tried to empathize or sympathize. "I'm so sorry you're having such a hard time. Your father is such a demon. He's trying to harm you and kill you." Prahlad, Prabhupada says, Prahlad became surprised and said, "No, he's not doing that. He's my father. He's just playing with me." Yes. So, this is Prahlad. So elevated that it is not like some devotees, advanced devotees, if they're being harassed, they kind of hang in there and, you know, sort of handle it in Krishna consciousness or something. He just, it was like, he was not there really. He was somewhere else. And all these things were just like some sort of fantasy or something, at least you could say, unclear. Because he was absorbed in that transcendental reality with the Lord. So then, Narada goes on that you, Prahlad, you're such a great devotee, that by your influence, all the sons of the demons became devotees. Not just some of them, but there was a revolution in Krishna consciousness there at that school. Total revolution. The teachers would go out of the classroom and, you know, sometimes, at least in my day, I don't know what it's like now, but in my day, when the teacher would go out, sometimes a riot would start in the classroom and, you know, it would just be a whole thing. Teacher would come back, everyone would try to be good. But when the teachers would go out, Prahlad would start a kirtan. Everyone, every single child, after a little while, once they got into it a bit, by his association, every child was just chanting and dancing wildly. And all through the association of Prahlad. And it was not just some ordinary preaching to some ordinary people. These children were staunch demons, born in the staunchest demon families, and they were of that nature actually themselves. Yeah. And in the purport it says that many of them became devotees by his instructions. Some of them, though, they became devotees simply by touching him or seeing him. So he was extremely influential. This is one of the, or very important characteristic of that Mahabhagavat, isn't it, according to Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya was asked three times, 3 years in a row by some devotees, "How do you recognize the most advanced devotee?" First time he said, "Anyone who chants the name of Krishna one time in their life is the best of the common people." Then next year they asked the same question. He said, "Anyone who chants Hare Krishna all the time is the best of the devotees." And then next year he was asked the same question and he said, "Anyone who simply by seeing him, other people chant Hare Krishna, he is the best of the devotees." So, this is what happened with Prahlad. He was influencing those children like that. Then, after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadev, now, Lord Shiva's already mentioned this. Lord Nrisingadev ignored the other demigods, even Lakshmi, who is his wife, actually. She was there. On one hand, she did not feel close enough to the Lord to be able to approach him. On the other hand, he didn't recognize her. But when Prahlad came, then Lord Nrsingadev did not just accept him and speak to him nicely and mercifully, but he put Prahlad on his lap and caressed him just like a mother. So it's a very intimate connection. Although he ignored Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi, when Prahlad offered obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev, the Lord picked him up while he was offering obeisances, put his hand on his head, and licked his entire body like a lioness licks her cub. That is what Brihad Bhagavatamrita says. The very deep display of affection. So, then, the Lord, after a little while, they had some exchanges, then the Lord offered a benediction to Prahlad. And Prahlad was not interested in any material thing. He was not interested in liberation. He was not interested in anything other than, he made it very clear, I want to serve you only. And that's all. And eventually, Lord Nrsingadev was insisting and insisting. So Prahlad said, all right, if you really want to offer me a benediction, then grant me the benediction that my father will not have to go to hell. So Lord Nrsingadev said, don't worry. He's already 21 generations before and after you are liberated just because you're such a great devotee. But then the Lord insisted, I want you to become the king. Prahlad didn't want to, but then he accepted. Why did he accept? Simply to help the people. Only. Only to help the people, to protect them, and to help them as devotees. For no other reason. So then Prahlad tells a story, which is something, it's a pastime of his, which we may not be at all familiar with, but one time he went to have darshan of a deity of Lord Narayan called Pitavas, the Lord appearing, Pitavas, the Lord appearing in yellow dress. So he went on pilgrimage to see that deity, and as he was traveling, one day he met one strange renunciate. He was dressed as a renunciate, but he was carrying a bow and arrow. So Prahlad thought, this looks like some sort of hypocrite who is abusing the principles of religion. So he challenged him to a fight, and he declared boldly, I will defeat you. So they fought for several days, and at night they'd sleep, and in the morning they'd get up and fight again. In the morning, Prahlad would get up first of all and worship a deity that he was carrying with him. So one morning he made a very nice garland from forest flowers, put it on his deity as he was worshiping his deity. Then, shortly after he got up, picked up his weapons to continue the fight, he saw this unusual renunciate was wearing the garland. And then he understood, oh, this is my Lord. So he surrendered to the Lord. And, but then the interesting little twist at the end is that he asked the Lord, he said, I'm a Kshatriya, and I vowed I would defeat you. But now, what do I do now? I vowed I would defeat you. But now, what do I do now? Now, I can't continue fighting you. And I, even if I did, I wouldn't be able to defeat you. So what do I do to overcome the sin of not fulfilling my vow to fight as a, to defeat you as a Kshatriya? And the Lord said, I am always defeated by you. Yes. Meaning transcendentally. Yeah. So that Narada refers to that, how Prahlad is such a great devotee that his love defeats the Lord. So, then he says that Narada says that not only have you defeated the Lord, conquered the Lord, but even Bali Maharaj, your grandson, your descendant, he did by your mercy. And in the purport there's a very interesting story from Skanda Purana, how one time 10 big demons attacked Dwaraka. And the inhabitants of Dwaraka formed a special committee to go to Sutala to ask the Lord, who's guarding the doorway there, the doorway of Bali's palace, to ask him to please come and fight with these demons. This committee was headed by Durvasa. So they went down, they appealed to the Lord, please come, defeat these demons. It's your city, Dwaraka. The Lord said, you have to ask Bali. They went in and asked Bali. Bali said, no. I don't want him to go. I want him to stay here. Durvasa was pleading with him. Durvasa finally said, I will stay here and fast till I die if you do not allow the Lord to come to protect his city of Dwaraka. Bali Maharaj said, you can do whatever you like and let whatever happen, happen. But I am not going. So, Narada is saying that this is because of Prahlad. Yes. So Narada became ecstatic. He was dancing wildly, crying out just so happily. He said, I'm going to stay with you forever. And by your power, I will overcome the curses that have been made against me. Right? Those curses. Daksha cursed him for converting his 2 lots of sons into renunciate devotees, that you will not be able to stay in a place for a long time. And somehow or other, Narada met Jara, the personality of old age, who's a lady. And she somehow became attracted to marrying him, but he refused her also. And she cursed him, the same curse. But Narada is saying that by your power, I'll stay here permanently with you. I'm so inspired. Your association is just so wonderful. I'm going to stay here forever. And by your power, those curses will be overcome. So unable to tolerate this praise, Prahlad Maharaj lowered his head and respectfully addressed Narada Muni. He might have become angry, but Narada is his guru, and you're not meant to get angry with your guru. Although he thought his guru might be teasing him or playing some rather mean little game on him. So then he asked Narada Muni, "You please reconsider what you're saying. This is not right." He said that a young boy cannot understand the science of Krishna consciousness. It was just a sentiment that I had. That's all. In that way, what's he doing? He's defeating the idea that he's been a great devotee since childhood. It was just a childish sentiment. Children laugh and cry and do things. So was it, that's all. And then he said that if there was anything auspicious, well, he said that it is only through the instructions of great souls that auspicious things happen in people's lives. Or in other words, they become Krishna conscious. So in other words, if I appeared to be, or even if I was a little Krishna conscious, it was because of you, Narada, because you instructed me. While Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad gave instructions to his mother, who didn't really remember them afterwards. But Prahlad in the womb, he took it all completely to heart and became totally fixed up, more than fixed up, came to such an exalted level, even within the womb of his mother. So it's not one's own qualification at all. That's got nothing to do with it. It's just that mercy coming from the qualified person. And it was only because of that mercy, that Shakti coming from Narada, that he was able to persevere despite his father and everything that his father tried to do. That he was able to enlighten his childhood friends. That he may have apparently acted in saintly ways somehow. That he may have been able to perhaps help the fallen, but it wasn't him. It was Narada just coming through him. And in the purport, there's a very interesting note that he does not try to address the point that Narada made, that he is always meditating. He's always meditating and remembering the Lord. He didn't try to address that. He only addressed things like dancing, jumping, shouting, laughing, because neophytes can do that. So if he's a devotee, he's a neophyte. He may not even be a neophyte. It's just like a reflection of the association of Narada Muni, and it's not anything really to do with him. Yeah. But he doesn't touch this point of meditating, because to be successful in meditating, you have to be very advanced, and a beginner cannot do things like this. So he says, these symptoms do not show that a person really has the mercy of the Lord. They don't show that. Rather, if someone really has the mercy of the Lord, then they will be true servants. Yes. Because when one is advanced, like Narada is saying, one realizes one's eternal relationship with the Lord. And what does one do then? One serves, and only serves, and always serves in terms of that relationship. So these different things that he displayed or whatever seemed to happen, they're not symptoms of mercy. They're not symptoms of mercy. All he did was remember the Lord sometimes. That was by Narada Muni's mercy. And it's really only people who are real servants of the Lord, that type of person who has the mercy of the Lord. Like Hanuman. Hanuman. He has the mercy of the Lord. So he says, I've never performed any service. Except when I got into difficulty, sometimes I would remember the Lord, but that was all. And that was by your mercy. So I've never served the Lord. I've just remembered him a little. So I'm not on the level of Nama, Rupa, or Leela Smaranam. I'm not on those levels. Then he says that when the Lord caressed me, picked me up and treated me so affectionately, he said, many people say it was just a play of Maya. Now, who are the many people? They are some impersonalists. In his family, because his family are demons, there are some impersonalists. So they said that this, the Lord, you know, doing, petting you, whatever, it's just a display of Maya. Or if it is not that, it is just a pastime. That's all. Just the Lord doing something because he wants to as a pastime. It is not like meaningful on a deeper level. It was short-lived. It only lasted a few minutes and then it finished. So to me it seems like a dream because now he's gone. And I don't see him now in that form. He doesn't see the Lord now. So it was just like a dream. Then he went on, the Lord went on to perform other pastimes. So then there's a note in the purport that still it might be said that the Lord's display of affection towards him was real, and or because it has been accepted by many great sages and demigods and very authoritative and knowledgeable persons. So many people have said that it was a real display of affection. So if that is the case, then Prahlad says the following, that when the Lord really gives his mercy, a little momentary bit of mercy is one thing, but when the Lord really gives his mercy to great devotees like Hanuman, then he grants them the right to become his eternal servants. And I am not that. I'm a king. He says, I may be a very expert king, but I'm just a king. And I've become attached to being an expert king. Then he says, actually, the fact is, the Lord only performed that whole pastime to deliver the demigods who are in anxiety, because they are his devotees, and because it was part of his whole relationship with Jayan Vijay. That's all. It was nothing to do with me. Then he says, the Lord was simply upholding the words of various devotees. Lord Brahma had predicted his appearance. And Lord Brahma is a devotee. So therefore the Lord had to uphold his word and appear to kill the demon. Because Brahma went with the demigods and prayed, and the Lord said he would appear. So he had to appear, therefore he did. The four Kumars had predicted that he would kill Hiranyakashipu. Wanted Hiranyakashipu to go back to Godhead as quickly as possible, because they were regretting having cursed Jayan Vijay. And he appeared in such ways as to fulfill all the requirements of the benedictions of Brahma given to Hiranyakashipu. This is from Sridhar Swami. These different reasons why the Lord appeared like that. So Prahlad is saying that the Lord was just upholding these different promises. Then he says, the Lord appeared in order to uphold his words in Bhagavad Gita that his devotee never perishes, or that he'll deliver his devotee from birth and death. He's sort of accepting himself as a little bit of a devotee. But then the Lord gave him a kingdom, and he got entangled. And when the Lord favors someone, he takes everything away. And he says, see, I haven't got one atom of the Lord's mercy. Then he says, this example of yours of fighting with the Lord at Vishala, if I'm getting so much mercy from the Lord, why did I have to leave my kingdom and travel on pilgrimage such a long way? And why did he come and fight with me if he's so merciful to me? He says that my further family members in further generations are demons. So that's proof that I'm not a great devotee. If I was such a great devotee, how would someone like Banasura appear in my family? He says, the Lord, he may have become the gatekeeper of Bali, but he repeatedly goes away. And even if you think that it's great that we can see him at the gate sometimes, Ravana came once and saw him at the gate also. Ravana came to attack Sutala, but the Lord kicked him away. So, yeah. So they get to see the Lord at the gates, but Ravana got to see the Lord at the gates also. And just because the Lord resides at our gate doesn't mean that he's being merciful to us. He's in everyone's heart. So that means everyone's got the same mercy that we have.
Mean that he's being merciful to us. He's in everyone's heart.
So that means everyone's got the same mercy that we have. And he says, if there is any mercy on me from the Lord, it is by the mercy of great devotees. And he doesn't mention the name, but he's referring to Narada Muni. Yeah. But it is only a speck, little grain of dust of mercy. He says, the newer devotees, this is the same idea that Lord Shiva presented, the newer devotees have more mercy, like Hanuman. He has more mercy. So then, Prahlad starts glorifying Hanuman. He says, Hanuman has received the most mercy from the Lord because he served the Lord. He's been serving him unobstructed for thousands of years. The ninth canto says 13,000 years. Unobstructed every day. Just serving the Lord. He is very powerful. He got special benedictions from the demigods, which he used in the Lord's service. Now, we're not sort of getting into like the same area as being with Indra or Brahma, of being big, powerful, material people. But he got special benedictions, which he used in the service of the Lord, in very outstanding ways, to serve the Lord very wonderfully. And he performs wonderful service, and he gives three examples in order of ascending importance, increasing importance. First of all, he jumped to Lanka. What an outstanding bit of service. Amazing service. Then he was able to pacify Sita. That was even more amazing service. Then he successfully burned Lanka, came back and told Lord Ram that he had found Sita. And Lord Ram embraced him. That was the best. The famous embrace where Lord Ram embraces Hanuman and embarrasses him. Then he did many other things. He directed the project of bridging the ocean. He helped Vibhishan become a devotee by telling Ram about him before he came, and then when he came, arranging a meeting for him with Ram. He destroyed the Rakshasas. He brought that mountain with the herb on it. What is that? Sanjeevani? And he devotedly served Lakshman. He brought victory to Lord Ram and added to the fame of Lord Ram. Oh, what mercy. What an outstanding devotee. What great, great mercy Hanuman has got. And he's still, so Prahlad tells Narada, he is still living in this world in separation from Lord Ram. Lord Ram asked him to remain behind to give his mercy to the devotees and to all living entities. And he's staying alive only by hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Ram, keeping his deity by his side. So, actually then Prahlad goes on, says another couple of things. In Shastra, he's described as being the topmost servant. Of those in Dasya Ras, he is known as the highest. This is proof of the Lord's greatest mercy. Even though he was given liberation, he refused to take it. So Prahlad tells Narada, you should go. Go to Kim Purusha Loka. This is where Hanuman is. And see Hanuman, meet him for yourself. So Narada got up and he jumped up, flew to Kim Purusha Loka. There he saw Hanuman worshipping Lord Ram with various forest items and listening to the Ramayana being recited by Gandharvas. He was in great ecstasy reciting various prayers. Narada started glorifying Lord Ram. Jai Raghunath, Jai Janaki Kanta, Jai Lakshmana Agraja. Hanuman was so happy. He became ecstatic and he was crying. He embraced Narada around his neck. Narada was dancing. The two of them were dancing while embracing each other. But Narada with his hands was wiping the tears from Hanuman's eyes as he danced. So then, as they were dancing, Narada told Hanuman that you are the dearest devotee. And just by seeing you, Narada said, I feel that I've become dear to the Lord. Hanuman immediately stopped dancing and became very sober and reverently took Narada into his temple and sat him down in front of the deity of Lord Ram. But Narada, he was sort of irrepressible. So he then started to glorify Hanuman as the true recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord. He said, you are always immersed in the prema bhakti rasa, the ocean of the nectar of prema bhakti. That you serve the Lord in so many ways. You're his servant. You are his friend. There's a touch of friendship there with Hanuman. Little touch. And in this way he enjoys the confidence of the Lord. You are his carrier, his seat. You are his flag. You always sing his glories. You're his general. And so many other things. You're entirely surrendered to the Lord. You're entirely dedicated to his glorification. He knows this because Prahlad told him that if Hanuman becomes unable to glorify the Lord, or at least hear glorification, he will immediately die as a result. You always increase the bliss of the devotees. Your devotion is pure. And you delighted the Lord by speaking a famous verse. There's one verse, Rupa Goswami quotes it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, although he gives no reference for it. He just says it's a well-known statement by Hanuman, in which Hanuman says that, I just want to serve you. And if my accepting liberation means that I'll not be able to serve you, I don't want it. So actually is quite brief, really, Narada's glorification of Hanuman. And Hanuman replies very briefly to deny his position of having the greatest mercy, or even not any mercy, but much mercy, particularly now, mercy from the Lord. He says, that? Well, Hanuman started lamenting and crying sorrowfully as a great fire of separation was just ignited in his heart. He asked, "What mercy has the Lord given me?" At least after he abandoned me at the end, even though he took with him all his other devotees, like Sugriva and all the others, he took all of them with him when he left, but he didn't take